Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 taxpaying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Jacob. Thank you for joining me. This is Hunt Detail. And first of all, I want to thank everybody that's been listening, taking in the podcast, and those of you that have checked out the Hunt Detail YouTube channel. And of course, there's a load of resources on the Hunt Detail Instagram feed. If you go to the link tree in the profile, you can download some of those cheat sheets for various product comparisons like hunt map apps and turkey vest and saddles, weather apps. I've even looked at that before in depth. There's some weather apps that have a lot of value and some that don't. But today we're going to talk a little bit about some ways that we can evolve as a hunter during this off season. I know spring turkey, bear season's coming. For those of you that do those things, and obviously it's a lot of fun to fish as the water starts to get warmer. But if you're really focused on some activities around hunting, I think there's some ways that you can evolve that are really focused on self-sufficiency, bringing you closer to the process. It does require a bit of sweat equity. But you're building, some of these activities that I share are building for the long term. They're investments in your development and your growth, and they do actually have an ROI on them, a return on investment. And so, you know, the first thing that I would like to bring up as an opportunity is purchasing your own bow press. Now, I purchased my bow press probably 5-6 years ago, and the price of the bow press, it's from Last Chance Archery, It's the basic one, the base model. I think it was around $400 then. I think it's around $450 now. The price really hasn't changed a whole lot. It might have been a little less, but ultimately, if you think about the cost of replacing your cables and strings and the cost of going somewhere and having someone look at your bow and do those things to your bow and trusting that person, and I think it's good to change your cables and strings probably every 2 to 3 years. It's really something that you can do yourself. And I think on the other side, you're actually going to find that you're better archer, you better understand your bow, you're better at tuning your bow because you now have a higher level of ownership in that process. Now, I understand you could go to a Shields or a Cabela's or Bass Pro or whatever and have someone do it, and maybe it's pretty inexpensive and it's more efficient use of your time. But again, I think if you are doing this on your own and taking that level of ownership in it, you're going to be investing in yourself as a bow hunter. You're going to be better for it on the other side. You're going to, again, understand the nuance of your bow. And that way, if you are hunting out of state, you're hunting this September, you're hunting elk, or you're hunting whitetail in another state, and something happens to your bow, and you happen to have a backup set of strings and cables, you're able to make those changes and make those adjustments immediately. It's not, well, I'm several hundred miles from the nearest bow shop, and oh, by the way, they're busy as all get out because it's bow season. They're not going to be able to, your hunt is over if you run into that situation. But if you have a backup set of strings and cables and you have a mobile bow press, which I have, which a mobile bow press costs maybe $60-$70 at most, you can get those on Amazon. And you can change your cables and strings, reset your bow, and the hunt is still on. But otherwise, you're sort of screwed. And so I think there's a case for getting better at being able to do your own work on your bow and having your own bow shop. So that's opportunity number one. Opportunity number two is something else that I've personally been doing for many years, is my own DIY Euro mount. And that is really not difficult. There's a little bit more sweat equity involved, I will say that. But if you spend roughly $100 on a turkey fryer setup, you're going to need maybe it's a little bit more because you're going to need a pressure washer. But these are all things that you can use for other things, like, you know, whether it's the turkey fryer or the pressure washer. You're going to need an OxiClean, sort of like, I prefer an OxiClean to type detergent to sort of break down degrease the head. And then you're going to buy a large bottle of salon grade hair whitener. It's actually hydrogen peroxide. So like I use, it's like 40% hydrogen peroxide or something like that. It's not like a hair dye. It's not bleach. You're not bleaching the heads. And I do have a video coming out on the Hunt Detail YouTube channel on this very process to sort of detail my process. So I would encourage you to check that out. That'll be coming out real soon. But it's a very simple process. It is tedious. You have to dedicate, you have to have a couple blocks of time to skin the head, break off the spinal cord, to degrease the head using the detergent. You bring the pot of water with some detergent to a simmer for several hours, and then you're pulling off, the stuff, and you're using the pressure washer to blow off some of that loose meat and cartilage, etc. And you do that a couple times, and then you get it down to really just sort of mostly bone. And then you start the whitening process, which is, again, simmering it and adding some of the hydrogen peroxide, which really whitens it up. And so maybe, let's say it's $150, but if you take that same head to a taxidermist, it's going to cost you $250 to $300 for a euro mount. And that, to me, is just too expensive. And I'd much rather do it myself. It gets me closer to the process, and I'm actually become more efficient as it, the more I do it. And if you start adding in not only the deer you kill, but what your kids kill, I mean, if you went to a taxidermist every time, that would be a pretty high bill. But if you can do it at your house, in your backyard, it's a little redneck. It's a little kind of gross for some of the neighbors if you don't have a backyard that where, you know, that's private. But I would encourage you to sort of dip your toe in the water of doing your own euro mounts. So number three is processing your own meat. This is something I've talked about a lot. Several years ago, I decided I wanted to be more self-sufficient in this regard. I didn't want to rely on somebody I didn't know or other folks to process my game, because I want to get all my meat and I want to cut my own steaks, and I want to make my own burger. I don't want someone else putting, you know, things into my burger, or not cutting out the steaks that I want, that sort of thing, or making my steaks into stuff that they want. I mean, we've all heard these horror stories of processors that you process some game, and then it's clear that they kept a portion of it for themselves. So to process your own meat, I mean, you need a fillet knife, you need something to hang the deer, to skin it out. I forget the name of the tool. It's an odd name, but you'll need that to hang. You want to put that set up sort of in your garage or outside your house to hang the deer, skin it out. You'll need a fillet knife, knife sharpeners. You'll need some gloves. You'll need some protective cut-proof gloves and sleeves. I always wear that stuff because I have actually cut my wrist accidentally once, and that was a scary proposition. And then you'll have to spend some time on YouTube understanding how to break down the quarters, how to, you know, the different cuts of meats within the quarters, in terms of like, what's the sirloin tip, there's so many different types of cuts. I mean, we're all familiar with the backstraps and the tenderloins, but there's different cuts there that you can do different things with. And I tend to make a lot of burger, but I do have some particular steaks that I cut out. And instead of spending $150 or more to have someone else process your deer, because think about that. You're in a tree, you see a doe, you want to shoot the doe, but you know, if you're shooting that doe to a processor, and that's another $150 to $200 bill that you're acquiring. Now, for me, if I shoot a doe, it's like I take it home, skin it out, cut it up. It's a, again, sweat equity, but it's a process that I know and I understand and I feel good about. I mean, I processed one of my own elk, and it was a gargantuan task. I mean, this was a 750-pound elk, but I just decided that I was going to do it, and then even if I made mistakes along the way, I was going to learn as a result of that process. And that was important to me, to learn and to be okay with making mistakes along the way, because you're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. It's just meat. You cut the meat the wrong direction or something, you still can grind it up and make burger. So all told, I mean, you're going to want a three-quarter horsepower, at least, meat grinder. Something like that's going to cost you about $600 from Cabela's or Meet Your Maker. I think that's another company that has a lot of meat processing tools. But it's a really, again, it's an investment in your own abilities and over the long haul, it's going to save you money and you're going to be better off for it, because if you want to kill several deer a year, it's not going to be $200 each deer that you kill to process it. And even if you decide to take some deer to the processor, you can still process some of your own, and you can have a better, more educated conversation with the person that's processing, the butcher, about what you want and what you don't want, and understand how they're doing it. And maybe you can, because you're more ingrained in that space and understand that space better, you can actually have a better conversation about what you're looking for with your meat. So number four, dehydrate your own backcountry meals. Every time you buy a Mountain House or a Peak Refuel, it's at least 50, somewhere between 10 and 15 bucks a pop. And these are meals that are, I did a review of 20 different backcountry meals on the Hunt Detail channel, and I encourage you to check that out. Every one of those is loaded with something that you may or may not want. Maybe you want a better mix of protein and carbs. Maybe you want all protein. Maybe you don't want so much salt. But you can make your own dehydrated meals. You buy your own dehydrator for $300. Mine's an Excalibur. It's a 9-tray. It's fantastic. I mean, I make dehydrated snacks for my backcountry hunting or out-of-state hunting. I make dehydrated meals out of foods that I like. And I'm not loading it with a bunch of salt and preservatives. It's for me, I eat gluten-free, so it's gluten-free. It has a good mix of protein and carbs, and it's something that I enjoy eating. And it's not something that, by the way, over the long haul, it saves me money. And so it's a little bit of work. You have to cook a big old batch of food, but I'm using my venison or my elk, and I'm dehydrating vegetables that I've bought, organic vegetables. And then I know where it's all, for the most part, come from. And again, it's something that's, I'm customizing it to my needs and taking ownership of that process. Number five is, this is a good time of year if you want to invest in your kids to get them out. And this is something that I did recently with my son. We went to an area that we're going to turkey hunt, and we did some scouting, and it was really about looking at the lay of the land with him, showing him what I expect to happen in a few weeks or a few months when it is turkey season, and then creating setups. This is going to be setup A. This is going to be setup B, C, D, E, F. So that when we get there and we know, okay, they're roosted over here, they're roosted over there, I want you to go to this setup. I'm going to go to this setup over here. And he's now more invested in that process. And it's something fun. We cleared some brush out of the way. We put some sticks in an area up against a tree to break up our profile. We based it on the terrain features and what we thought might happen based on large roosting trees. And so we, of course, it's going to be something that potentially makes the hunt more successful, but it also shows the strategy, the approach, the focus, the ways that you can prepare for a season, the way you can prepare for a hunt. You get outside, you get out in front, get away from the screens of our life, and really build excitement about the upcoming season. So I would encourage you to do something of that nature. Obviously, you can go look for sheds. Obviously, you can go jump deer. You can go, deer scouting. But, for me, at this particular moment, we were creating turkey setups. And then the last one, number six, is tackle long-range shooting. So a number of years ago, I was drawn for an elk hunt that was, you could use any weapon, and I decided that I wanted to use a rifle. I didn't own a rifle. And I wanted to, I purchased a rifle, got the scope, And I really wanted to understand long-range shooting at a higher level. I think a lot of times we look at archery and we think archery is very complicated and complex. Archery is, I think, in my opinion, really simple. I mean, it's not that complicated in terms of, I think we try to make it complicated. We try to compare it to, you know, something that's very complicated, but it's really not. I mean, there's only, you know, you got to understand paper tuning and cam timing and your arrow weight and those sorts of dynamics. But once you understand that, it's really not that complicated. But when you look at the long range shooting with ballistics, MOA versus mils, scopes, types of scopes, adjusting for wind, type of caliber of rifles, etc., it's I think very complex, highly complex, and you could spend years diving into long-range shooting guns, rifles, etc., and still not understand all of the nuances within that. And so a book that I purchased a few years ago was The Long Range Shooting Handbook by Ryan Kleckner. I think it's maybe $12. I bought it as a Kindle book. And it really dives into that space. I think there's a lot of resources even beyond that book, even better resources. I mean, Ryan is highly, he has a sniper background, very intelligent in this space. But there's a lot of resources, a lot of tools that can help you understand long-range shooting and understand ballistics, mils, MOA, all of that that goes with it, creating your own dope sheet. And I would encourage you, if you want to become more self-sufficient, become a better hunter, build into your evolution, some of these options might be a good option to dive into, maybe all of them. But we have this time before the fall hunting seasons kick off, and now you can either get a bow press, work on doing your own DIY Euro mounts, learn how to process your own meat, learn how to dehydrate and create your own backcountry meals, take your kids scouting and create setups for the upcoming season, or, as I just mentioned, dive into that long-range shooting and ballistics dynamic. So anyways, I hope that these are helpful for you and encouraging for you. Thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, follow, share, and talk to you next week. All the best.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.